morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to see each one of you here, and the visitors are with us. I trust you'll feel welcomed as we worship the Lord together. Truly is a privilege to be gathered together to worship the Lord. And I was thinking again this morning as we were getting ready or preparing to come, and I don't know why the Lord's been pressing on my mind the last number of weeks, months, maybe a year or two even, of taking for granted the freedom we have of coming together to worship, and those in other countries that don't have that. You know, we have so much comfort, so to speak. We have hot running water at our faucets, showers, bathtubs. We have, what clothes am I going to wear? We have a number of clothes to pick from. And yeah, and then just the thought of being able to get in a vehicle and drive, and you know, it's a normal part of life for us. But along with that, I trust and pray for myself anyhow that I remember to pray for those that are in countries that don't have that they could remain faithful in serving the Lord. Appreciated the service so far this morning. Just a good for reminder for all of us, and the various things in Sunday school and the scripture reading, the songs that we sang, and things along that nature. This week, as I was beginning to prepare for study and to prepare for this morning, a question was going through my mind a little bit is, what do you share a message on 1 week after Easter? You know, you look forward to Easter coming up, and we had a sunrise service, we had a message on resurrection, you know. Yeah, now what? And yeah, but as I was thinking about that, a verse kept going through my mind is in Philippians 4:10. That I may know him, this is the Apostle Paul saying this about Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So this morning I want to look a little bit about the resurrection power and the resurrection power of Christ and what that has done to each of our lives. It's a question for each one of us to think about this morning. Has the resurrection power changed us? And if it has changed us, is it empowering us to continue on? Throughout Scripture, some of the great men and women say that their desire and passion is to truly know God. Moses, back in Exodus 33:18, said or prayed to God, I pray that you show me your glory. In other words, he wanted to see God. He wanted to see who God was. There's many scriptures we could turn to and think about this, but another one was this, David in Psalm 42:1 says, as a deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after you, O Lord. And I had to think of the various ones in scripture that we have recorded that remain faithful. We had Noah when God told him to build an ark, and all the things that he was made fun of because of that. It's never rained before. This is a joke, and how long it took him to build it. But yet he was steadfast, and he was faithful and not giving up because he knew and trusted in a real and living God. We have Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who remained faithful in the midst of a pagan culture, in the midst of knowing what was going to happen to them. David was thrown into the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown into the fiery furnace. So as we're thinking about some of that this morning, you know, what is our heart's desire this morning? Is our heart's desire to know God? And if that is our heart's desire, what difference is it making in our life and in the life of the others round about us? Quote that I seen while studying said, when we truly have a desire to know God, it becomes our heart's desire to be obedient to him, to completely place our faith and trust in him and to be obedient to him. The title of the message this morning is That I May Know Him. Our text this morning, and I know I just shared on these texts several months ago, but it'll be in Philippians 3. We'll be looking at 10 through 14. The message will have a different twist to it, probably, or a different aspect to it, I should say, than when we were going through our study in the book of Philippians. But yeah, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Again, that verse that I had quoted there earlier, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, though not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thought a little bit about as I was going back over the notes and refreshing here this morning before we came to church a little bit. It probably could break this down almost every one of these verses and make a message out of them. But thinking of the overall view this morning, we're thinking of the power of the resurrection. The message this morning will have three different parts. The power of knowing Christ. Our main thoughts this morning will be from verse 10, with other ones having some input, other verses some input as well. You know, we like the first part of this verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But what about the second half of the verse? And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Because of the suffering that Christ had, because of what he was willing to do for us, that is what gives us the new life. That is what gives us a way to come clean and be pure and holy before God. Because of the victory that Christ had when he rose from the grave, it is because of that victory that we can experience the power of the resurrection. You know, part of why we struggle so much, I think, with the last half of the verse, or that we don't like that part of the verse as much, because it is part of us dying to self, suffering for the cause of Christ, being fully dependent on the Lord. Thinking some more on the thoughts of knowing God, let's back up to verse or two here in the same chapter in verse 7, where the Apostle Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." We see here Paul laying the foundation that anything that he gained here in this life of his own, can I say, monetarily or things of this earth were lost to him. But the things of Christ were the things that were going to bring him gain, as we read in the next couple verses after that. And I was thinking about the Apostle Paul's life and some of that, and we won't take time to go over all of this again, but you know, we see so much of his life, even after he became a Christian, even after he had that dramatic conversion experience, even in his Christian life, he did not go back and rest in his human accomplishments. In order to gain more knowledge of Christ and to know him in a deeper way, he continued to press on, he continued to move forward, he continued to recognize his need to continue to grow in the likeness of Christ. One of the thoughts that came to my mind thinking about some of this, we have to become fully dependent on God to know him in a deeper way. We have to recognize that without God, we are nothing. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are nothing. You know, thinking about some of that being fully dependent on God, you know, there's a story that I found, a little short story. Sometimes I think we're like this man in this story. It's maybe a little bit humorous, but it has a good point. It says there's a story about a mountain climber who was hiking to the edge of the mountain. He slipped and fell down a little bit, but he was able to reach out and grab a hold of a tree limb that was growing out of the side of the cliff. While hanging there, he looked down. And he knew if he would fall, he would fall to his death. But he looked up and said, "Is there anybody up there?" God answered and said, "I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe in me?" He answered, "And oh, yes, Lord, I believe you. I really believe you. But however, I don't know how long I can hold on." God said, "That's all right. Don't worry. Just let go. I'm here to save you." After a little pause, the man looked up to heaven and said, "Is there anybody else up there?" But you know, you think about that, it's a little humorous, a little comical, but isn't that how we are sometimes when we maybe don't like what we hear, we don't like what we're asked to do, we don't like the growth that God is calling in our life, we maybe look for another way, we maybe look to something else to maybe help us in ways that God really don't want us to be helped. question I want us to think about and grasp this morning as we think about this resurrection power, and we'll talk some more about that as we go on. But are we really trusting in the Lord? To learn to know Christ, we have to enter into the power of his resurrection. Romans 6, verse 4 adds a little insight into some of that or what all that might be. It says there, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What all is involved in walking in newness of life? We could, there again, create a whole message out of that. But, you know, completely turning away from what we've done before, completely turning away from what our humanistic things would be, and turning and allowing Christ to change us and to mold us and shape us. Knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection means that you live a surrendered life to him, that we have surrendered our life to him. We are no longer serving self. We are no longer serving sin. Another question that came to my mind is, how much effort do you put into your relationship with the Lord? You know, I was thinking too, there's college students, I know out at EBI they have it that you can do this. You can just audit a class instead of take the class. And college students can do that as well. Auditing means that they can sit there in the classes and listen to the lectures, but they don't have to do any of the work or use the textbooks. In other words, you don't have to put much effort into it. You can be a part of the class. You don't really get graded on it, but you can audit the class. You can be a part of the class. Auditing students simply listen and observe. One tendency of half-hearted Christians is to audit the Christian life. They may attend church or a Bible study or a Bible school, but they don't want to get too involved. They never put what they learn into their daily lives. They might profess to follow Christ or even go through the motions of obedience, but they don't really know God or live in his power. You know, I thought about that, you know, thinking some more about this new life we are called to live. We are called to turn away from sin. We are called to flee sin. We're called to be a new person, a new creation, a new creature. And thinking about the resurrection power that gives us the power to do that, to live lives that are victorious and to live lives that are honoring and pleasing to God. Are we willing to put forth the effort in cultivating a good and right relationship with the Lord on a daily basis that continues to give us that power? You know, I think many times, and maybe I'm speaking for myself, and as I continue to grow in my walk with the Lord, many times we want that resurrection power without putting any effort into it. But a daily surrender and obedience to Christ is the only way we will continue to know that. Paul says here again, thinking about some of this, Paul says that he longs to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That power that he's talking about is the same power and the same force that brought Jesus out of the grave. Can you think and imagine just for a moment that same power is available to us to walk in pure and holy before the Lord? Part two we want to look at is living in Christ. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 in Colossians 3 tells us some things that we need to be doing if we're truly seeking Christ. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Here again, it's calling us to turn away from our human nature, our human desire, the things that we would have formerly been setting our affection on, and setting them on things of heaven and things above, not on the things of the earth. And I should probably read verse 3 and 4 yet. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, ye shall also appear with him in glory. Did you catch what that said there at the beginning of verse 4? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. It didn't say when Christ, who gives us life, which that's part of it, but when Christ, who is our life. In other words, who we are serving, who we now are. The power that we're talking about is what enables us to overcome the power of sin. Yeah, the power that we are talking about is what enables us to overcome the power of sin. Thinking of an overall view of what we see Paul saying here in verse 10 and 11 in our text, Paul, I believe, is saying that he wants that power of the resurrection. He wants that power that it's going to take to sustain him, to remain faithful. He wants that power that is going to distinguish him from the rest of the world, the rest of society around him, that's saying that he is a child of God. In the midst of all the evil around him, Paul wants to be a picture of life. In the midst of what may look like defeat to those around him, Paul wants to be a picture of victory. And thinking about some of that, you know, Paul is sitting in prison as he's writing this. And he's basically saying that he wants to continue to live in that resurrection power and point others to Christ. Is our life a picture of life, life with a capital L, and a picture of victory? We need to remember that our bodies and our lives are temples of a living God. I think I touched on this just a little bit back a couple weeks ago when we had the Palm Sunday message. But I couldn't help to put it back in here because it just fits so well. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, I think if we can grasp that thought there that's coming through in these two verses here alone, it will change a lot of what we do. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you. We are not our own. And it says we are bought with the price that Jesus paid when he died on the cross. All the mockery, all the beating, all the scourging, The crown of thorns pressed on his head. That's what we were bought with. Then it tells us, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What are we doing with our life? Part three, looking forward to seeing Christ. The last couple verses here in our text, Paul gives us his perspective of knowing Christ. The first part of verse 12, it says, "Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended." You know, if the Apostle Paul hasn't apprehended till then, I don't think any of the rest of us are going to apprehend. I mean, yeah, well, that's what we want to do. In other words, I'm saying if he hasn't fully attained, if he hasn't got to the place where he's done enough for Christ, it's kind of the thought that he's bringing out here. But then we see what he says next. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting what I've done in the past, forgetting what my failures, my not just my failures, but my shortcomings, but also my accomplishments. I'm forgetting all that behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." In other words, continuing on to the furtherance of the gospel. Actually, I jumped ahead of myself there one verse. I was looking for verse 12 when I said some of that. "But it's not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." There. "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." In other words, there's that thought. Not that he's already attained. Not that he's already got it all figured out. Not that he's already done everything that he can for the Lord. But to continue to follow after. And then the next verse where I just was expounding on there a little bit ago, of forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth with those things which are before. You know, none of us can change our past, whether good or bad. We can't change the regrets we have. We can't change the accomplishments we have. But either or, we can't live in defeat because of our regrets, and we can't live in victory because of our accomplishments. We need to continue to press on and live in the power of the resurrection and do what Christ has for us to do. And we see Paul saying that in verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize," in other words, being in heaven with the Lord someday, "the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Some verses back in Psalm 63 that come to my mind that fit very well with what we're talking about and looking at here this morning kind of adds a little more to us of what we need to be doing as Christians. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8, and it says it like this. Psalmist David speaking here, it says, "O God, thou art my God, Have we ever made that cry to the Lord? Oh Lord, you are my Lord. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. And then verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth thee. Two verses I was looking there mainly for was verse 1 and verse 8, but I decided to read the rest of them in there. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. In other words, he's saying that's a priority for me to seek thee, to develop a relationship with thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Are we following hard after God this morning? You know, we like to the Easter story, the power of the resurrection, but what are we doing with that in our daily lives? Is it affecting what we do each and every day of our lives? Is it affecting how I interact with my neighbors, our coworkers, your family, the neighbor down the road? Is it affecting the neighbor that you maybe don't like so well or wish maybe didn't live in that house, if you have one like that? We don't have one like that at this point, but I'm sure there has been times in the past. What about the trailer park that might be in a local community? We were coming through Pleasant Hall this morning, and I just happened to think about it there. There's a trailer park there that's not real uppity up, or whatever you want to call it. What about the people in there? Do we ever rub shoulders with them? What do they see in us? Are we truly living in the power of the resurrection? Are we making a difference in the world? Or are we trying to fit in with the world? Quote came to my mind, only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Couple more verses in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, thinking about some of what I just said there. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The things of this world are going to all pass away, but those that do the will of God are going to abide, are going to live forever. What are we doing in life? It's a song that I heard again this week. I've heard different times over the years. I'll just read the chorus. I won't take time to read this whole song, but the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, he lives in us. Through that we can have hope, through that we can be overcome. And through that, we can prevail and have victory in life. It's a question I leave with each one of us this morning. What are we doing with the resurrection power? Are we basking or happy in the fact that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, that we can be pure and holy before the Lord? And I trust that we are thankful and grateful for that and thank the Lord every day. But it's not enough to just stop there. Are we living if lives of victory? Are we living lives that are honoring and pleasing to the Lord because of the power of the resurrection? With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.